my Savior calling.
I can hear
my Savior calling.
I can hear him calling me.
Lord, I can hear my Savior calling. I'll go with him. So where you lead me, I will follow.
Where he leads me,
Lord, where he leads me, I will follow.
Where he leads me, I'll follow.
Lord, where he leads me, I will follow. 'Cause I'll go with him all the way.
Amen. God bless you, musicians. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to the house of the Lord. We are so humbled to see you, the people of God, from your different houses, homes. You know, you prepared, you made ready and came to sit and to congregate here, not to see a man, but to see the mighty God and to meet your Creator. Amen. That's why it's a duty and a responsibility for us as we stand here to acknowledge, you know, the subject of the topic for which Jesus died at the cross, you know, the very people for which he died, and God put them under our responsibility to feed. Amen. Because the prophet says, when it comes to salvation, God has put salvation of the humanity into hands of man. Amen. To preach the gospel, God used man. He did the job of paying the price, but to bring the gospel, he used man to bring the gospel, to bring salvation to others. Amen. So that's why we're really thankful to the Lord, and we're asking for your prayers as we minister, as you know, officers of the church, as ministers, as pastors, and so forth. We need God's grace. Because if we become just common to each other, you know, it's just something that we do quickly and go and read quickly and come, it wouldn't be a blessing. But if you pray for the minister, you can pray fully, and God will touch, God will inspire the minister to meet your needs. It may not be your own need, but it will be a need in the body. Someone in the body may be longing, his soul may be crying for something, but your prayer will be, you know, the key that will kick the inspiration into the minister, to answer to that need. So when we come prayerfully, we know that we are going to meet God, and God is going to answer to our request. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this Sunday morning, the Sunday after Easter, O Lord. We commemorated Easter last week, O Lord, the day that reminds us what you did. And the day really our religion became different to other religions, O Lord, because that was the day that made the difference, O Lord. Before, everyone could come and contest. Everyone could argue. Anyone could bring his diplomas and his titles and so forth to say that he is someone. But Calvary, and especially Easter morning, made a difference. That's why we can stand boldly and claim that we have the true religion. That's why we can say that our religion is the best. is the only that you agree, O Lord. Heavenly Father, let us now benefit from the fruit of the resurrection. Because you were the first fruit. You were the wave shift, O Lord, that was agitated, that was raised upon us to show, to testify that the rest of the harvest will come to the same maturity, O Lord. Heavenly Father, a week after Easter morning, we are looking at Calvary. We are looking at the empty tomb, O Lord. We are looking at ourselves, O Lord. Let the benefit of the empty tomb be impacted in our lives, O Lord. That the resurrection be not a myth in our lives, O Lord. That your resurrection become a reality, O Lord. So that when the world will see, like the disciple in the morning, when they went to that tomb, O Lord, they could come with evidence that you are not dead, that you are alive, O Lord. Quicken our mortal bodies, O Lord. Quicken our souls, O Lord. Kill sin in our lives, O Lord. And make us live a victorious life, O Lord. Because you overcame the tomb so that we can overcome sin, O Lord. You overcame the tomb so that we can overcome ourselves, O Lord. Bless us as we gather in your presence. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's open Psalms 133. Are you happy? Yeah. Amen. You look so tense. I don't know. Is everything okay? Or you are still stuck in the tiredness of last week? It was a real blessing. Amen. Though it was, the body was tired, but our souls were blessed. So we are just trying to keep that fire burning. And encourage each other. That's why we should rejoice in his presence. That's why when the song leader come and start leading song, we should sing with joy, with worship and a true spirit of worship. Amen. That's one of the things we are going to talk about this morning. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So we're just going to speak a little bit on the topic we are talking about last time I was here for Sunday school. It was the power behind our fellowship. Amen. We just want to share some thoughts and to understand. Because fellowship, our fellowship, if we don't really get to the bottom of what it is, it may just become a gathering like any other gathering out there, you know. So we really want to keep that in mind. What is fellowship? And why are we coming to meet regularly as we do? You know, because if we don't, we can really meet in our house, in our homes, and meet in cafes. And but why do we come here? What brings us here? What is the power behind our fellowship? And if you really get to understand that, you get the revelation of what a Christian fellowship is, then you'll get the blessing of the fellowship. Amen. Amen. Because any fellowship, as we were saying last time, any meeting, if you see people seated together, you know, having a meeting, there's one cause that brings them together. People can't just sit there if there's not something they are talking about. In a company meeting, you'll see they'll call people. Sometimes there are meetings in company, they don't call everyone. It's only directors' meetings. Why? Because there's a common goal that puts them together. And when they are coming to the meeting, they are waiting, they are expecting some contribution to the attendees, isn't it? Because they know that these people, we share the same goal. We have a common goal. That's why we have gathered as we are. So when we come into our fellowship, we need to ask ourselves first, what brings us together? Amen. There must be something that brings us together. And that something, because this morning, the pastor didn't take a phone and start calling everyone. We don't have a ding-dong, ding-dong, you know, like in old Catholic churches. Because if it was that, then we'll say it is the clock that brought us together. But no one rang anyone. Each and every one of us from their home, they woke up, they started making preparations, dressed accordingly, and we came. So it started from an inner conviction in each and every one of you. Each and every one of us got an inner conviction of something. And that something that you were convinced with, it didn't bring you to Croke Park. It didn't bring you to Aviva Stadium. Because the people that gather around hurling, around the GAA, they've got that conviction, but it takes them to Croke Park. Amen? They've got the same conviction, but it takes them to Tree Arena. Because they've got a common goal. All those like-minded people, they'll gather, and you'll see they'll be dressed in a certain way, all of them. If it's Dublin GAA, they'll be dressed in a Dublin GAA jersey. That's the common goal that put them together. And they go there, and since there is a conviction, since, you know, it brings a reaction in the body, even your body will react to the inner conviction. That's why you'll see them seated there, even if the game will start at 4 p.m., they'll be there at 8, but no one will complain. Amen. Amen. No one will complain. Even if they say there'll be extra time. You know, amen. The game was meant to take 2 halves of 90 minutes. No, 45 minutes. 45, 45, and 15 minutes break. It was meant to last 105 minutes. But they say, no, listen, there's extra time. The people will say, yes, there's extra time. If and after the extra time they say, no, we're going to have penalty shootout. The people will say, yes. Why? Because there's a conviction. But why you as a believer, when we come to church, there's a long prayer line, you start complaining. Amen. Are you really in the spirit of fellowship? Did you come with that inner conviction in you that I'm going to worship? Because when you are coming to worship, you'll see even after the game is finished, the players are out. If the team has won the game, you'll see them out there in the Manchester United Stadium singing. The player, the game is over, they'll sit there singing, shouting. Why? Because there's a conviction inside. But the prayer line took just some 30 extra minutes to start complaining. Why did they keep it so long? They don't know that we didn't eat in the morning. They don't know the temperature in the room is not good. My brother, it's just because you are not in love. When a girl loves a boy, they can stay all night on the phone. Amen? You know that? They will stay all night on the phone. Before they know, it's 6 o'clock. Oh, I have to go to work. She will go to work. She will not complain there. Why? Because there is love. But when a girl starts now to, you know, get too much of the boy, she doesn't want him anymore, 10 minutes is enough. Amen. 10 minutes is too much. I can't. I just say it. There was a brother here, you know. Sorry to mention that. late Brother Pele, you know. He took a job as a security guard somewhere. He didn't like the job. You know, he didn't like the job. He was telling me, you know, he started the job at 8 o'clock. At 9, he'll ring me, Brother Eli. Oh, I have to work until 8 p.m. I can't stand. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But when you love the job, when you love something, you won't even realize it's 7 p.m. You are about to finish. And you are your heart is so keen to come back the next morning. Why? Because there is love. Amen. When there is love, you won't complain. Even our meetings, they'll be different. No one will push you to sing. No one will push you to, you know, to act. No one will push you to do something. You are even, you look to find out what is not working. I want to bring my contribution so that this meeting will be a blessing. I want to bring my contribution. Amen. So, but when it's not the case, it is annoying. You say, it's Friday. We have to go to church. What excuse can I find? I didn't take a vaccine. Okay, it's a good excuse. I have no vaccine, I won't come to church. My brother, it's about you and your God. Amen. It's about you and your, because there's some, you know, you are expecting something from a relationship. You will do what it takes to make it work. Amen. You know, it's not funny. It's not easy to go to work, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 every day. It's not easy. Waking up every morning. Myself, when my alarm goes off, sometimes I say, you cover yourself. You say, I don't want to wake up. It's not easy. But you find the energy to do it because what? You are expecting a reward. Amen. Because you are expecting a reward, you are ready to make the sacrifice. Amen. Amen. That's why no one will push you, will remind you that today is Tuesday, you have to go to work. You will wake up, you'll prepare, and you are there on time. Why? Because, and you'll find all the like-minded people, they'll be there at the company. You are there on time, and you start the business. Why? Because there's a power behind that fellowship. That's why the psalmist says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen. What makes our unity is the Christ in you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Jesus, the risen Jesus in you, that's what makes our unity. If really you are convinced, you have the revelation that Jesus Christ died for you, and you are partaker of that work of Calvary, it is impacted in you, there's something that will push you to give something back. Because as we say already, our worship should be the expression of an inner conviction of realization of what Jesus did for you. Amen. If really you can stand, sit, and realize that Jesus died for me. Because sometimes we just take it for granted, you know. It's like a lawnmower. Jesus died for me, Jesus died for me. Just like a noise. But if you just sit and meditate what it means, you know, it's even hard for me to accept to die for my wife. You know, they need to tie me seriously. You know, you say, outwardly you say, yes, yes, yes. But when they point the gun at you, you may think twice. You know, when they point, you know, the sword at your throat, you may think twice. But willingly, he went and accepted.
Amen.
So if you come to that realization,
hallelujah,
worship will become something natural. Amen. Worship will become something natural. And our meetings, will be more meaningful. Amen. But if it is just something that your dad told you and your mom told you, you know, it will just, that's why the song leader will be shouting here, "You are not singing. Sing, brother. Sing, sister." But when you come in a congregation where people have made that experience, they are coming knowing what they are coming for, then you don't need to shout.
Amen.
Amen. You don't need to shout. You don't need to go. People will be, they are worshipers. That's why the Bible says true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that rained down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments. You know, when you come prepared, that precious oil they are talking about here, it was the oil made, it was not only olive oil, it was oil mixed with some nice smelling spices. You know, cinnamon and turmeric and some nice smelling spices. And it was mixed with this oil. And when this oil was, you know, poured on Aaron's head, it was, you know, expressing, it was displaying some nice smell. It was attracting. So when you come prepared, my brother and sister, in the freshness of the Holy Ghost, you spend time in the presence of God. You bring your anointing. Brother Jesse brings his anointing. Brother Mike brings his anointing. That sweet smell will expand. Even the preaching will be easy. Amen. Even the preaching of the word from the pulpit here will be easy. But you know sometimes why the minister struggles to minister to you is because you came with your own kind of aroma. You know, you took some Gucci. They didn't use Gucci. They used that special anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not against Gucci. Oh no, amen. You can use your Gucci, whatever you like. But we are talking about the spiritual anointing.
Amen.
Use that spiritual anointing of the because when you come with your own anointing, with your own oil smelling some kind, that one come with this one came from a farm with the smell of the sheep and goats and so, it becomes hard for the minister to bring the church together. Of course, the minister was prayerful. Of course, at the end of the day, he will get there, but the job becomes very hard. Why? Because the people didn't come prepared. But when you come prepared and the anointing is there, then you will see the power of the Holy Ghost at work. Amen. Don't blame the minister sometimes. Say, that brother, he has no anointing. No. The anointing in the Christian gathering doesn't come from the pulpit. Amen. The Holy Ghost, we are not in the Old Testament anymore where only the high priest had the anointing.
That's right.
We are all a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
Amen. God has raised some of us to different positions, but when it comes to being priests, we are all priests.
Right.
Amen. So you bring your lick of fire. She brings her lick of fire. I bring my lick of fire. And all together, it makes the power of our fellowship. Amen. So don't blame the minister. Oh, no, you know. Brother Andrew, in old days, you know, he had power, you know. But now, he's too old now. There's no more power in his ministry. No, it's not about that. Have you prayed for him? Have you prayed? Because sometimes we just blame the ministers. But you don't know what the ministers are exposed to. Amen. You don't know. Before he came here, you don't know what phone call he got. Amen. As a pastor, you don't know what kind of phone call he got before he stood here. Someone may just have stumbled him seriously. You know, but he has to stay a man of God. Amen. He has to come here just because, not because of one person, you will let all the congregation down. There are some believers who are just like that. They send you a text there. You read and you are, you know, your heart is torn apart. But you have still to come here. So if you didn't pray for that kind of person who comes here, he's just trying to cover, because he's a human being as well. He has feelings. Sometimes when you insult him, when you some behavior, he just say, oh, these people, after all I've done for them, this is this kind of text they can send to me. And you see that they are there, they are not really performing as you like. You say, oh, this brother didn't pray, you know. He was eating too much. No. Pray for the ministry. There's a lot of struggles they are going through. There's a lot of things, a lot of arrows targeted at ministers. But if you just come expecting to get something, which is good, but if you didn't prepare the meeting, that's why your Saturday, your Friday morning, the day we have our congregations, do something. Pray for the minister. Amen. Pray for the officers of the church. Because they are targeted by the devil. Amen. There are people that will come just, you know, they say, I'm going to church. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about spirits. Amen. But those spirits will enter into people. They say, this pastor today, I just want to see if he's a man of God. They are coming anointed with those spirits. And while you are preaching there, you don't know what's going on there. You don't know. You are sitting there, but you don't know what the minister sees. Pray for the minister. Amen. That's the power behind our fellowship. If you come prepared, if you come really to meet your like-minded, you know, redeemed souls by the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll see the hand of God. That's why, as I said in the beginning, our meetings shouldn't be just a routine. It shouldn't be just a routine. Even in the normal, you know, natural jobs. If you are a surgeon, you need from time to time to go and read your books. You know, if you are, even myself, I go sometimes to see my GP. Sometimes he leaves me there. He takes the books. He consults. Why? You don't want it to become a routine. When people's lives lay in your hands, when you have some responsibility in people's future, and which we all have, don't let it become a routine. Be prayerful when we come. Ask God to bless the meeting. Ask God to bless the song leaders. Ask God to bless the technicians back there, behind there. Ask God to bless anyone, even your fellow brethren, sisters. Ask God to bless, to anoint, so that all the traps and the tactics of the enemy won't have any impact on the meeting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for granting us once again to speak about these things of the kingdom that we take sometimes for granted, O Lord, but we are just bringing them to our remembrance to know, O Lord, that we are a special people and our meetings should be special, O Lord. We don't just come irreverently to speak and sing and go, but we are coming knowing what we are coming for. We are coming to meet the Almighty God. We are coming to meet the author of our salvation, O Lord. That's why if we have that conviction and that revelation, we'll come prepared, we'll come reverently, and we will help each other. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Bless your people who sit reverently listening, O Lord. Bless them for their amens, O Lord. Bless them for their prayers. Bless them for what they did to come today and to make this meeting be a blessing, O Lord. Bless our pastor who is preparing. Let the whole service be really a service we'll remember days, months, years after, O Lord. Bless the song leading. Bless our young ones in Sunday school upstairs, O Lord. The offering, everything that will be done, let it be done for your glory. We are not doing it to raise any man, O Lord. We are not doing it to put ourselves forward, O Lord. That's why teach us to humble ourselves. Forgive us our shortcomings, O Lord. Help us to stand for one another, O Lord. Help us to bear for one another's mistakes, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, not to look at each other with human eyes, O Lord, but to look at each other with spiritual eyes, where we'll see that our mistakes, my brother, my sister's mistakes, are not his mistakes, but it's the devil. But my brother and sister, their desire is to please you, O Lord. And if we see things in that way, we'll pray for each other, O Lord, and we'll bear the burden of each other. Bless us, Heavenly Father, as we commit this service into your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.